Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I heard a semantics conversation between C-Mac and a caller this morning about must win and what a must win means, and how the caller said game three is a must win and C-Mac said it can't be a must win if the series isn't over. And the guy said, well, series could be over if they lose, then it gives the Celtics confidence to come back in the series. But if you do win, then the series definitely is over. And I understand it's not a technical must win, but if the Knicks do win this game, one thing I'm confident in, as wacky as this series is, that they're not losing four in a row. There's no way they're losing four in a row. It hasn't happened in the NBA, right? I know it's happened in the NHL. It hasn't happened in the NBA, a team being down 3-0, coming back and winning four straight.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, so from that standpoint, you want to say must win to move on to the next round? It's about as close to a lock as you can get. Hmm. Now, if you lose it, it doesn't mean you're going to lose the series. So it's like a half of a must win. Like, if you win, you feel pretty good about moving on. If you lose, you still have an opportunity to win.
You know, did you think that the Celtics would lose three in a row to the Knicks? Did you think they'd lose both games at home?
So
who knows what happens? Shaquille O'Neal is on the side of the caller who called this, I believe it was Shaq, that called this a must-win for the Knicks if they want to advance, because he believes the same thing, that if you give the Celtics life, that they might become the Celtics again. That having been said, to me, split these two. Like, if you're the Knicks, if you end up going back to Boston up 3-1 where you know you can win, you give yourself two serious cracks at ending it before game seven.
Yeah, I mean, and then the Celtics would have to win three in a row. So as hard as four in a row is, three in a row is almost as hard. So, yeah, I mean, if you win one of the two, especially if you win this one, I mean, you feel even better about it. But it's they're still an underdog. It is unbelievable. They are still an underdog, and they won't be if they win game three. I think finally everybody will say that they'll be the favorite to win the series. But it's the way the games have gone.
Yep.
I mean, we forget because of these great comebacks and how special it's been that the Knicks were getting killed in both of these games.
But they won the games. And I know, I will say it over and over, I know a big part of this has been Boston shooting for sure. But you also got to give the Knicks credit defensively for what they have done in these fourth quarters. They have made, while yes, they have been ice cold shooting the basketball, there's no question about it, they've also made big stops when the game was on the line where they very easily could have lost. So it's been maybe a perfect storm for the Knicks in these fourth quarters, I suppose. Maybe Boston's just gotten complacent with these big leads. I don't know. What I do know, though, is they're up 2-0. They are coming home where they haven't been great so far in the postseason against Detroit with an opportunity to really put their foot on the Celtics' throat.
And if you're just tuning in, putting on the TV, or watching us a clip on X or Instagram, and you're wondering why Jerry's wearing the Kristaps Porzingis jersey, well, it's simple. We asked for a jersey from Fanatics, which they delivered. We wanted to put it in the freezer. However, after the first two games, we felt like this Kristaps Porzingis jersey going in the freezer would not help the team because they won the first two games. So I said to Jerry, you want to put this thing on? First he said no, and then I said, how about all the times Boomer has sat there and crapped on the Nets, and I dressed up as a leprechaun
to watch the Celtics, or because I wanted the Celtics to beat the Nets. And this is an opportunity for you to stick it to us, and especially stick it to Boomer, who's not here.
You talked me into it.
And you could wear the Porzingis jersey, who he didn't like either when he was a Knick, in his chair on a Feel Good Friday. And you put that thing
you
on,
talked
you're
me into
rocking it proudly. So it's not was not really Jerry's decision at first. I did talk him into it, but he wasn't doing this. If the jersey wasn't in front of me this morning, it's not like Jerry himself went out and got the jersey.
Not at all. So, and I declined the leprechaun outfit from Evan. And also, in fairness, when you look at the teams that I do like, as much as I do watch the Nets, I don't watch every game. Like, you know, the Cowboys, I don't miss a play.
Right.
You know, whether it's the baseball with the Mets, even the Yankees, I'm not putting a Red Sox jersey on or... this is fine.
It's okay.
And you got to me. You got to me with Boomer needling me to a point where I'm ready to knock him in the head with a baseball bat.
And he's going to see this at some point. He's going to put on CBS Sports Network or he's going to watch one of the clips that put out there, and it's going to piss him off.
Yeah, in his chair.
Yeah, in his chair.
Chair, Boomer.
Did you like the pick and trade, by the way, for the Cowboys?
I do like the pick and trade. When you look at what this team... can be on paper. Now, I still don't know, you know, running back-wise, that to me is still, they drafted a kid. I don't know what that is yet. We'll see. But when you look at, I think they got a good tight end. You had CeeDee Lamb. I liked when they had Brandon Cooks last year. I thought he was going to be an X factor for him. He was okay. Never really turned out to be what I think they envisioned. But I do think when you now have two fantastic wide receivers, and I believe motivated too, it just gives Dak Prescott every resource he needs. Offensively, they drafted an offensive lineman. I know they've lost some pieces up front, but I think they'll be good on the line. And now that you've got these two, one that can really stretch the field, one that doesn't have to, you've got a really good possession tight end in terms of catching the ball. I think they can be really good offensively, yeah.
And he was a second-round pick. I thought he was a first-round pick, which meant that he had the fifth-year option, but he's not. So being a second-round pick, he's going into a contract year.
Yeah, which is a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, these guys, you see how motivated they can get in a contract year.
You know who's the hardest job is going to fall on Dak's shoulders to make sure everybody's happy. And that's a hard thing to do because there's only so many pass plays in a game. And you've got a guy like CeeDee Lamb, who I love the kid, but, you know, he's a wide receiver. And when he's not involved early, sometimes, I don't want to say checks out, that's not the right phrase, but sometimes he looks a little, you know, disengaged from what the offense is doing, maybe. I'll say it that way. So you've got to make sure you've got two guys now that need the ball and a really good tight end, too. It's going to be on his shoulders to kind of figure it out and balance it.
Feel Good Friday on Boomer and Geo. Jerry in for Boomer. Let's get to the calls now, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Edgar, who's calling from Long Island. What's going on, Edgar?
Edgar.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hope you're doing well.
Morning.
Just two things to say real quick. Do you believe the Knicks can finally put together a full 48 minutes of good basketball tomorrow or either on game four? Because to be honest, as much as people say the Celtics haven't shot their best or played their best, the Knicks haven't played their best basketball either, and they're up 2-0. They've just played pretty good in spurts.
You know what they haven't done yet, Edgar? They've had guys play good. Like, Mikal Bridges saved them offensively in the fourth quarter the other night. Karl Anthony Towns was good early. Jalen Brunson in games has been everything they've needed, whereas Brunson, while he made the big free throws and the big play at the end, shot 6 of 19. I agree with you. They have not put together a full game where they've complemented each other. They've done it in spurts, and I think you're right. While we're focused on Boston not shooting it well, I agree with you that the Knicks have not played a complete game yet either.
Absolutely. And last thing I'll say is I want to give a quick big shout out to my wife, who is an actor, and she was on the new episode of Law and Order yesterday.
I watched it. Who was she in the show?
I think she was a medical advisor, I believe.
Nice.
Like, she was, you know, giving the case details to the detectives. You know, they were in Central Park. She was in there for maybe 5 minutes or so.
That's awesome.
It's still pretty big, and I know bigger things are coming for her, so I'm very, very proud of
her. Good luck. That's great.
Yeah, that's awesome, Edgar, and that's something to be proud of. So she had lines. She had a speaking part.
Yeah, she did.
Wow.
Very cool.
That is great. Well, good luck to her in her career, and good luck to you, and good luck to the Knicks on a Feel Good Friday. Everybody is fired up today.
That's pretty good.
Law and Order. You watched the episode last night?
You know, it's funny. So I used to, with Sam Waterston, I love Law and Order, but I haven't watched too many of them this season at all. But I did get, because I got home so late from from my son's baseball game. By the time I took a shower and ate something small, it was 8 o'clock, and I put it on. I'm like, you know, it's a new episode. I'm going to watch it. And it was a very cool episode. If it's the same one we're talking about a basketball player's dad and him, whatever. So I did watch last night. So that's like ironic that he called this morning.